4OIM, this is KO4RYP. Hey, Walt, Chad had to step away for just a second. His stomach was a little upset, but he's coming right back.
Your voice on the radio tonight. He didn't have to go put his pants on, did he?
Funny. I was listening to you talk about that, the story about the bird. I'm afraid I've been the same way. I don't believe in all the bad luck, good luck stuff, but I can't stand a bird. I know Chad's been telling stories on me, but, oh, my goodness, I don't know where I got, how I ever got so afraid of having a bird fly around me, around my head, but and I freak out if they get too close. So dead or alive, they're just not my favorite.
The same way. I hate birds. I hate chickens. When I was young, I had a fanny hen, and she had a bunch of little chicks, and somehow or another grass caught on fire out there around the chicken pen, and I went out there to save my fanny hen. She was my pet. And when I ran in there to get her and the chicks, she bogged me. I mean, she tore me up. And ever since then, I have hated birds. And right now, my daughter's got, I think, 12 of, not parrots, but, doggone, what are those little birds? She got 12 birds in there in 3 cages in the living room. And she goes somewhere, Daddy, make sure the birds are fed and watered. Them birds will die before I stick my hand in that cage.
I'm with you on that, Walt. I just couldn't do it. Now, my mom, you know, lives with us, and she absolutely loves to watch birds. And I enjoy that, especially the hummingbirds. They're something else. If I'm inside and they're outside, I'll sit and watch them all day and love to see them fly around. And just, they're quite funny. But I don't want them near me. Don't want them near me.
K4RYP. RYP, K4OIM. Yeah, I love hummingbirds. My daughter just bought this place this late spring, early summer. I didn't have any chance to put any hummingbird feeders out. But there's no use in putting them out there because we are eat up with squirrels. But I've always loved watching the hummingbirds. But I can't, it freaks me out to go up there and go in the living room. Parakeets. She's got 10 or 12 parakeets now. And she sells the things, and they multiply like rabbits. And she finally took, you gotta have this breeder box in there for them to go in and mate. She finally took them out because she ain't been selling none of them. And to me, they stink. She says she don't smell them. Well, I stay down here in my shack all day. And when I go up there at night and go to bed, I can smell them birds. Ah, Daddy, you just imagine that.
You won't ever see a parakeet or a bird in a cage inside the Hightower house, that's for sure. We're not going to do it. But, well, Chad's come back, Walt, so I'm going to be clear. I enjoyed talking with you. Thank you so much. And I will talk to you another time. KO4RYP.
RYP, I'm going to get another known Chad right now. I know y'all going to France. And I wish I'd had your phone number yesterday, because he said he knew you were busy and you wouldn't be listening on the radio about that trip to France. I wish you could have heard him what he was saying, and it was funny. I'm sitting here dialing, and I said, oh, my God, I wish Hannah could hear this about eating escargot and all of that and staying in the watchmaker's house with a five-foot ceiling. I'm going to leave it at that, Anna. He can take it up from there. Are you there, Chad?
I am. This is KFRYP. I had to come back and say one more thing. I wish I had been listening to all that. Goodness gracious. We are excited about going, though. But I am going to eat some escargot, so I'll let you know how that goes, too. But you gotta help me out sometimes with Chad, Walt. So don't let him go on too long. KFRYP, I'm clear.
Can we put some salt on them? They'll disappear.
K4LIM, KO4NUE. I'm back, Walt. mercy. So I owe you. I owe you big.
Here yesterday, I was dying like a man. If I just had Anna's phone number where she could turn the radio on. KO4NUE, K4OIM.
I got caught the other day. Excuse me, Walt. Give me just a second. So I got caught the other day. I was talking about the first week of our marriage when we got back from honeymoon. And one of the first meals that she cooked for me, she liked to kill me. And I tell everybody that, you know, literally, she, you know, she tried to kill me right after the honeymoon. And we were, me and two other fellas were talking about marriage and, you know, how long we'd been married and this, that, and the other. And it just happened to be that was our, the day we were talking was our wedding anniversary. So I got, you know, wound up in telling stories about, you know, being married to her, and stories, things that we've, you know, funny things we've been through. And I no more got, you know, 3 miles from the house. And one of the guys was talking about this meal that his wife cooked for him. Some kind of chicken pretzel, something or another. And he was saying that it was, you know, so dry he couldn't swallow it. It was awful. And that's when I said, well, you know, bless her heart, my wife can't boil water without burning it. And just as soon as I turned loose of the microphone, buddy, puts her call out there. And here's the funny part is, the other two fellas talking, it was so bad, they felt like they was in trouble. They didn't say nothing either. It was just dead air for about a minute.
UEK4OIM. My daughter, this is no lie, she cannot boil an egg. And my grandson, he told her the other night, Mama, I want Papa to cook supper for us. And Tracy said, what's wrong with my cooking? And Josh said, Mama, you burn everything. I have seen her put eggs. She was wanting me to teach her how to cook potato salad. She put 4 eggs in a boiler with water. She cooked everything on high. She goes in there and gets on her cell phone, sitting there texting. Next thing you know, all the water had boiled away and the eggs are black on bottom. I mean, she boiled them and then roasted them. But Josh, he don't, my grandson, he ain't at 5 years old, he loves Papa's cooking. Man, my mother died when I was 15, and I had two younger brothers and a sister, and Daddy worked, and it was up to me. I cooked, washed clothes, done mop, cleaned the house. It was up to me, and my sister, I think she was 12, she tried to help, but I brought up the hard way, Chad. And man, I've been single since, what, 91? Man, I can't afford to go out to restaurants. I had to learn to cook. I can cook anything a woman can cook. And I love baking cakes, Chad. K-O-4-N-U-E, K-4-O-I-M.
What you did to me last night. So I've got I put FL Digi on my computer so I can start experimenting with some digital modes. Well, there's, I don't know, FL Digi's got, I don't know, 15 or 20 different digital modes that you can choose from to, you know, send a digital message. So not understanding how this, all this works and just trying to figure it out, which I've done a pretty good job with it. I got in the menu and looking around in the menu, and one of the modes is CW. So I said, well, I wonder what that is. That must be, you know, Morse code. So I tuned the radio down, found somebody, you know, sending some CW messages, and turned on the digital mode, CW mode, and lo and behold, it starts decoding what the message is saying. Now, it's not always correct, but there's enough of it that is correct that you can figure out what they're talking about. So me and her got on a conversation of Morse code. And she was saying, I don't understand how somebody can interpret that. That's just, you know, that's I don't understand it, and blah, blah, and how does somebody figure things out like that? And so we listened to it and decoded the message for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. And I'm fascinated by it. I can sit here and listen to it all night. I don't know what they're saying, but I just love to listen to it. So she leaves the ham shack and decides she's going to go in there and take a shower. So she's in there on the shower, and I hear her in the shower going, beep, 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 in the shower. So I go in the shower, and I said, in the bathroom, and I said, honey, what are you doing? And she says, I'm sending you a Morse code message. Do you know what I'm saying? And I said, no. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, you don't know Morse code either. And she says, you forgot to do the laundry today. That's where I am, right there. So we go on with one another all day. And it's, you know, it's not, it's nothing derogatory at all. It's just, that's just how we, you know, that's just how we share in each other's lives, I guess. Because if you can't pick and have fun, then, you know, hey. But you got to watch her. She's sneaky. She'll get me in a minute. K-O-4-N-U-E, K-4-O-I-M.
KK4JBQ.
How are you tonight, sir?
KO4NUE. KK4JBQ. Well, you got me with that. You really did. I mean, I've been sitting here for over an hour and a half, I guess, listening to you guys talk. And you know, it's a good thing, you know. And so I figure I'll just let them talk. But then you made me roll. You made me roll. Oh, you and Anna, I swear, you're a sweet couple. KK4JBQ.
So it's been, let me make sure I got it. You've been a wonderful 26 years, yeah. I'm not good at things like that, but yeah, it's just been, you know, kind of like that from day one, I guess. So you gotta watch her. Last night she checked in on the net. She wanted to check herself in, so Marshall was up on Echo Link, and he sent me a message on Echo Link after she checked in, and he said, "Was that Anna?" She said, I've never heard her check in before." And I sent him a message back on Echo Link, and I said, "Yeah, you gotta watch her. She's sneaky. She'd sneak around. I come in here sometimes, Larry. I'll go up to the deer camp or be out of the way of the house, you know, for a day or most of the day or whatever. And the knobs on my radios are all messed up, buttons pushed off frequency, on some kind of frequency that there's just nothing there. And I know she's in there messing with the radios when I'm gone, but you know, hey, I guess, that's the way she learns, I guess, just come in here and start pushing buttons. But it usually takes me, you know, about an hour to get things straightened out. But it's just, you know, it's just one of them things, I guess. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, and K4OIM. Go ahead and pick it up, Walt.
You don't reckon Anna's a Chinese spy, do you?
Why would it be a Chinese spy?
Interested in her intelligence. You ain't watched no James Bond movies, boy. She might have married a Chinese spy, and she might know Morse code, but their Morse code is altogether different than ours. A dead R might mean a K in their code, and when she was in the shower last night, she might have been sending you code in Chinese code. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, K4OIM.
Let me make sure I got it. On one thing, well, we both, me and her, can both agree on one thing with about what you just said, is that, yes, indeed, we both speak very different languages when it comes to trying to convey a message to one another. I am 180 degrees from her, and sometimes that's, you know, I think every married couple's like that, though, you know. Sometimes we'll just have a topic that we're talking about, and it be a controversial topic, and next thing you know, we're beyond bantering with one another, and got nothing to do with what we're experiencing in our life at that time. It's just, you know, both of us trying to get our point across, and just like, why are we even talking about this? You know, we've spent the last 30 minutes talking about nothing. That's, you know, oxygen I'll never get back. But, you know, it's just, oh my goodness. So, yeah, I'd cheat something else. Absolutely something else. But at any rate, Larry, you still in there?
JTQ, yes, I'm still in here. And that's, you just did something for me, unaware, of course. You did something for me that I had not expected. This expression that you hear a lot, well, there's a minute I'll never get back, or there's an hour that I'll never get back. There's oxygen that I'll never get back. I just love it. I swear. That takes, I don't know, did you come up with that on your own?
Remember, right, I came up with that phrase about the second week of our marriage. not saying anything bad about our marriage, but oh my goodness, it's just sometimes I just, you know, just have to say yes ma'am and just let it go. You know. Oh my goodness. And here's my thing is that we colors, for example, colors are a big deal for us when we're remodeling or she does flowers for weddings. So, you know, when I describe a color of something, it is always a primary color. It's black or white, yellow, red, blue, or green, or orange. That's it. There in my mind, there are no other colors. Well, it has taken me 20 years to figure out that in her mind, there are no primary colors. In between red and pink, you've got 55 different colors. Some of them, she said a color the other day. I never heard that word before. I had no idea what she was talking about. And when she says something like that, I call her Bernice. That's my grandmother, Bernice. And she's, bless her heart, she's got some age on her. And, but she's got some dementia issues, and she mumbles a little bit sometimes, and I just, when she says something like that with colors or something that I just don't understand, I just tell her, okay, Bernice, are you mumbling again? she lights me up. Oh my goodness. KK4JBQ, KO4NUE, K4OIM. Go ahead, Walt, pick it up.
I guess you can tell I done took my amphetamine and I'm about ready to fire the flashlight up and get back up to the house. I really enjoyed it, Chad. Larry, Chad, that just proves you never know who's sitting back in the woods listening. I would have never thought Larry would have came in this late, but I enjoyed it, Larry. And I've got a 10 o'clock doctor's appointment in the morning for my left eye, and I can't wait to get this right eye done. If my right eye does as good as my left eye, I'm not going to need glasses. I can, I'd go up here to Chinese restaurant tonight and get supper. And I hate driving at night, but all the way home, the lines in the road were so bright and clear. And it's just amazing what that cataract surgery has done. If I can't wait on November the 3rd, I believe it is, when I get my right eye done. So KK4JBQ, KO4NUE, and KO4RYP, I think is that it's called. But I'm going to say 73s. I got to get out here and get up there and get to bed. Well, I got to get a shower first. So I'll be ready to go to the doctor morning. 73s, guys. I've enjoyed it.
73s to you. And have a good day tomorrow. Get you some rest. KO4NUE, and I'm clear with you, sir.
KK4JBQ says get some good rest. I'm happy for you. 73.
Larry, I gotta ask, did you get my last, well, let's see. I sent you a little text video yesterday morning, I believe, of KC. Did you get the video?
Yes, I did. I got the video. I shared it with Donna. And she said, oh, how precious that little one is. And I says, they call him, if I'm right, they call that one Pixie. And she said, she's carrying something. So I promised I would ask what Pixie was carrying in her mouth.
Evidently, you missed out on one of the conversations me and Gary had one night on the net during the rag chew. So Pixie carries socks. Clean socks, dirty socks, white socks, black socks, blue socks, red socks. She doesn't care. She will go get a sock and she will carry it. If you come over for a visit, a stranger comes over for a visit, she is going to stand at the window and act like she is going to eat you alive. But the second you step through that threshold, she's going to go to the laundry room and get a sock. And she carries it. We don't know why she does it. We think that it's her whoobie or her blanket. As a child carries a blanket, we think that's what it is, but who knows what goes through her mind. But here's what happened. So when the children went to college, we're empty nesters now. We have got a rather large laundry basket in the house, or had. And I'll explain it the way I explained to Gary. So you got five people in the house, and each person has got 2 feet. So that's 10 feet in the house. You figure each person has got a minimum of 5 pair of socks. So that's, what, 50 pair of socks. So over the years, we have got accumulated a laundry basket full of socks that don't match. So after about the fourth or fifth year of not being able to get our socks, we figured out what's happening to them, and it's Pixie. So she will go get a sock and deposit it in the yard somewhere. We think she's ADD because she'll get the sock and take it out in the yard and get distracted and drop it. So we have a running bet in the family that we have been, not a bet, but it's a joke. The furthest sock that we can find on the property. So far, Dad's winning. I was winning for about 6 months there, but because I found one down in the shop, which is 96 steps from the house, Well, Dad went out to check the mail the other day. We got a really long driveway. He goes out to check the mail the other day and finds one out at the end of the drive. So she has carried that sock all the way to the end of the drive and left it. And it's so frustrating for me because I'm picky about my socks. I like certain kind of socks. And she picks on me. She gets my socks the most and drops them in the yard or drops them here or drops them there. So that's what she's had in her mouth. Now, whether that is, you know, hey, look, what I've killed and I've got it in my mouth, and or whether that's a gift for a visitor, or whether that's, we don't know why she does it. But you can't, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, if you tell her to drop it, because we've gotten a habit since the kids have left, that when she goes outside in the morning, she's got a sock in her mouth, and I'll tell her to drop it. And she'll drop it at the door before she goes outside. Well, she's getting a little bit of age on her. She's a little cantankerous sometimes. Well, the other day, I was out at the, getting ready to get in the truck to go to the deer camp. And she wanted to go. Her and Casey wanted to go with me. So she runs out to the truck with one of my favorite socks in her mouth. And standing there at the truck, just begging to get in the truck. And with her sock in her mouth. And I pointed my finger at it, and I said, drop it. And she growled at me. Arr, you're not getting my sock. And I just, you know, okay, all right, just get in the truck. But I got my sock back. But you gotta watch her. I mean, she's a little sock hoarder, I guess. But anyway, when the kids left, we threw that whole laundry basket full of socks away, and I bet you it was a big old basket, probably 3 bushel baskets full. Over 15, 20 years. But any rate, tell Miss Donna that's what she's got in her mouth is a sock. KO4NUV and KK4JBQ.
KK4JBQ. You know, Chad, I've got a suggestion. I certainly can't explain why Pixie carries socks, but I have observed other dogs and cats as well. They will claim something or some kind of thing, category of thing, and it becomes special to them for some reason, and it's hard to know exactly. But I had a cat once who had a thing for socks, and we made a special sock. Now, you can stuff it with practically anything, but take a sock, an old sock, one you're going to discard or one that, you know, you haven't worn in a long time. You've got a sock drawer and there's 4,000 socks in there. Just pick a few out and put one inside the other one, and put that one inside of another one, and then put that whole thing inside of another one, and put another one inside that until you get a sock that's just big enough for her to carry, you know, a big sock. And then that will become the special thing. It's a one and only. I'm not a dog psychologist or a cat psychologist for that matter, but give that a try. We did it, and that cat carried that sock around exclusively and went to it, wrestled with it, you know, was about as big as the cat, actually, because we had about 14 socks stuffed together. KK4JBQ.
She's something else. She's my daughter's. We got her when Abby was young, and she's gone off to college, and she slept with Abby her whole life. And now that Abby's gone, she's, you know, gets in bed with us. And I don't like her in there because she's like a little oven. I mean, she's hot. Just, you know, gets the bed hot. But she gets, she is, favors females in the family. She don't have a lot to do with me. If I'm sitting in the chair, me and Anna drink coffee every morning, and, you know, spend some time in the mornings together. And we have a little routine that, you know, Anna goes and sits in her chair, and then I'll sit in my chair, and we'll drink some coffee, and then Pixie starts scratching at the floor. And that means scoot over, because I'm going to get in that chair with you. And she'll jump up in that chair with Anna, and she won't ever jump in the chair with me. And I've never done anything to her but love on her. I think she might have some psychological problems. I don't know. But I do know one thing. I tried to get my favorite sock from her the other morning, and she wasn't having it. I don't think she wouldn't bite me or nothing, but she let me know real quick, you're not getting this sock back. So it's out there in the truck, by the way. She left it in the truck when we went up to deer camp the other day, and pizza night. You know, the video I sent you of KC getting excited because he's wanting to go. That's what I go through if I leave. If I leave this place, he'll follow me to the door and just beg and jump up and down and snort and blow. And I didn't get him howling, but he'll start howling, wanting to get in the truck. But pizza night, you bring a pizza in this house, and you can't enjoy your pizza. You cannot. He'll sing an opera. I mean, it's the craziest thing. He just howls and he rolls. He's got like somebody speaking Spanish when you roll your R's, or how you say R's and you roll the R on your tongue. He rolls it, buddy. And it's just, you know, like Frank Sinatra or something. And, you know, so we always give him a little piece of pizza, and that shuts him up. Because if you don't, you can't enjoy your meal. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ.
Yeah, your pets are something, especially dogs, because they have a good bit of intelligence. But animals, characteristically, they don't have the same apparatus in their throat. They don't have a larynx, no vocal cords. So any sounds that they make, as odd as it may sound, is a real effort to use the parts they've got to make sounds and talk to you. They're, I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of a person who claims that their dog talks. Well, if you work with them, they will use the parts they've got to mimic the actual words that humans say. And it's a stretch, but you can almost hear them, you know, say those words. Row, 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 row. You know, that kind of thing. and they're a joy. There's nothing. I mean, I like dogs, cats, anything. A lot better than I like some humans. KK4JBQ.
We're deer camp the other day. We stopped by Roland's and visited with Roland in Pickens. And I took KC with me. That's the first time he's met KC. And I'm going to tell you, that dog, just he went over and just loved on Roland and just, you know, just made Roland's day. I mean, he's good at that, you know. And KC's head's, is very regal, very noble. He's a very noble nose and forehead, and he will, I mean, his nose is as big as a baseball, and he will root, you know, he'll poke at you with his nose, wanting some affection. Hey, pet me. And he went over to Roland and was rooting on Roland, wanting him to pet him. And Roland just petted. I mean, it was just, you know, it was a sight to see. But they're both something else. I mean, just something else. And then Pixie, when she gets in the bed, she'll push me out. Try to push me out of the bed. I mean, she just—it's just not, you know, she's not gonna have it. And she's just got a fondness for Anna and Abby, and just, you know, she didn't have anything to do with me. But they're funny. And just the way they do is just—they're just a big hoot. They've been playing us too for the past month or so. We noticed KC and Pixie started getting fat. And they've been playing me and Anna for food. Because when they get fed in the mornings and in the afternoon at a certain time. And when I leave, they'll go in there and pester her for food. And Anna's thinking, well, you know, Chad didn't feed them this morning. Let me go in there and give them some food. And yeah, they're getting fat, so we've gotten wise to them. We know what they're doing, and we think they're going through a little bit of depression because they're not getting all their, you know, getting their food back on a regular time the way they normally, like they're supposed to, you know. But we got them figured out. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ.
They will play on you. They play on your, well, dogs especially, I think. They've got feelings. They really do. And they know that you have them. And they will play them. You know, they will play like a fiddle. I mean, they'll just play on your feelings. And that's okay, as long as you got an understanding with your dog, of course. I wondered if KC, the way you say that, it's like the letters, is that initials for something, or is his name KC?
KC is a service dog. He is my service dog. He's sponsored by, he was sponsored by the Veterans Administration for me. And what they do is they will contract with dog trainers for the VA to train dogs for veterans who need them. The organization that sponsored me for KC, what they do is they will take a fallen soldier. They will take his name, name the dog after the fallen soldier with the family member's permission, of course, and give that dog with that fallen soldier's name to another veteran. So it is KC, as in Kilo Charlie, and his the person he was named after was Sergeant Kyle Colnott, and he was killed in Tallil, right out of where I was, right outside the front gate where I was stationed in Tallil, by a V-bed or a vehicle-borne explosive device. Killed him and two other people in the Humvee. And he is from Texas, and part of my responsibility when the dog is given to me is that part of my deal is, if I receive the dog, is that I have to make contact with the family. So, you can just imagine how that conversation went. But I have yet to talk to the mother. She will not talk to me. Now, Kyle's father, Mr. Colnott, and you can Google Kyle Colnott. There's a whole story on him and how he died and whatnot. But the father, we've been friends for years, up until he had a stroke. He had a stroke and he lost his ability to speak. So there's times when I normally call him on Kyle's death anniversary. But last time I talked with him, he was not able to speak, and I he just listens. So, it's a good thing. At the end of the day, it's a good thing. It forces everybody on both sides of the street to deal with some emotions that are not comfortable, but it's real. It's reality, And just a very interesting story how me and Casey came together. It's just absolutely amazing, actually, how we, made the connection. But KO4NUE, KK4JBQ.
That is a whole lot more than I imagined. That is a world more than I imagined. And so, sometime or other, somebody came up with something that really, in using the dog for and magnifying the effect of what Casey can do for you, but then what you can do for the fallen soldier's family. It's too bad, Mom, and I understand that. Gracious, I had a mother, and she, if I had left before she did, that would have been a struggling human being, because she was overly, she didn't want to lose her son, Even when I got married, she didn't want to lose her son. You know what I'm saying? She was a mom that I had to have a talk with Donna to let her know that this is just the way Mom is. I'm her firstborn son, and she's never going to let that go, and she's always going to be. It's just the way mothers are. And that's okay. It's really okay. So the way that Kyle's mother still is, with that tremendous loss, it's understandable. I reckon it is. It's too bad she's not using the opportunity to grab as much healing as you might be able to offer, because I think you were probably very good for Dad. And I really wish that she'd taken advantage of being able to talk to you, to relate to you. And, I mean, I can just imagine that that would have been very helpful for her. So the dog does, you know, like 10 things at once there. And now you pass that along to me. I wasn't even aware that this was something that happened. So thank you for that. And I'll pass that along to Donna. KK4JVQ.
So, I go up to the place that trained Casey. And, to meet the board. There's a board of directors or a team that will sit down and talk with the soldier that's been sponsored to kind of see what, you know, his issues are and how they can train the dog to benefit the soldier. I mean, it's a really good program, actually. So I go up there and sit down and talk with the board for a while, and I bet you there was probably 50 dogs there. And surprisingly to me, the director over the board says, okay, well, you know, we've got all the information we need. Let's go for a walk. So we went out to the training yard where all the dogs were. And he says, okay, this is what we've got available. We've got three puppies that are, I mean, they hadn't been weaned long. Well, they're a little older than that, but, I mean, they were still very young. He said, so it's going to be a minimum of about 8 to 10 months before we can, you know, get you a dog. And he said, you can pick one out. Pick one out, and we'll start training the animal. I had to pick out a primary and a secondary, because if the primary didn't work out, then they'd shift the training to the second dog. And I don't know, I've been around dogs my whole life, and it just wasn't there. It just was not there. And I told him, you know, we walked up to the front office, and I said, he said, well, you know what you want to do? And I said, I think I need to think about it for a little bit. And he was taken aback by that. He didn't understand why I would say that. And about that time, one of the attendants came in, opened the door, and in comes Yum Yum here. He gets mad if I call him Dum Dum, so I call him Yum Yum. So in comes Casey, and with the helper, and it was immediate that there was an instant connection between the two of us. So I'm sitting there loving on him, and he's, you know, he would not go to anybody else while I was there. He stayed right there with me and just laid down in the floor right there in front of me. So he says, well, that's KC. He's not going to be available for a service member. We're gonna have to destroy him. And I said, what? What are you talking about? And he said, well, Casey has lazy dog syndrome, and he's got some other issues too. And I said, well, what is? You know, I thought he was joking. You know, what is lazy dog syndrome? And it's an actual disease that is genetic, that's passed along to golden retrievers. but it doesn't manifest itself until they get to a certain age. And it's basically rheumatoid arthritis for a dog. But their immune system stays so ramped up because of what's going on with their bones that they're tired all the time. They sleep. If you watch the video I sent you, you'll see he don't jump and move like a normal dog because the disease has destroyed his joints and his bones. I'm not sure he's even got scapulas like a normal dog does. There's just nothing there. So he's slow. And it is a major issue for him if he needs to jump or do something like that. So I said, okay, why are you going to destroy him? He said, well, he's just not fit for another veteran, because he's not healthy enough. And we have, unbeknownst to us, we've given him to two other soldiers, and he did not work out. He's just too aggressive. And I just thought, I mean, in my mind, I know a lot about dogs. I know when there's a connection there. And I just told him right then. I said that I want him, and he said no, no sir. And I just, I didn't get angry or anything. I just put my foot down and said, this is the dog I want. And he said, Mr. Hightower, you're not listening to us. We're telling you the dog has been with two other veterans, and he's too aggressive, and he's got some, some health issues. And I said, I don't care. Do not destroy the animal. So the board, he said, well, you come back in a couple of days. So I did. 3 days later, I came back. And the board met, and they sat down and talked with me and said, okay, you understand the issues with the dog. So what we're going to do is we're going to have you go through the training program with him for a week. And we had a list of things, 52 tasks that we had to complete together before they would sign the dog off to go out in public. And after you complete training, we're gonna give you the dog for a 1 week basis, and you bring him back in a week, and we'll discuss, see how it goes. So he could not even jump in the truck, right? So I had to pick him up and put him in the truck. Even as a young dog. And so I took him home for a week, and he has never, ever growled or bit anybody. He is just the lovingest, mild-mannered dog you just ever meet. There is, nobody's a stranger. And I don't know what the issues were with the other two soldiers, but it's not here, with me. It never has been and never will be, as far as I'm concerned. But, so we went back up, and then they, we had to do the validation again. That took 2 days. And after we did, our 52 tasks, then, I signed for him, and it's just been a wonderful experience ever since. And that's the deal. I mean, there it is in its entirety.